here would like to have a joyful Christmas? Raise your hands if you'd like to have a joyful Christmas. All right, all of us. And so if you want to have a joyful Christmas, don't skip Advent. Advent is under assault. I tell you, Advent is under assault, and I really mean that. I was listening to the radio on Friday, last Friday, and the announcer blithely said, "Well, Thanksgiving is over. We're now officially in the Christmas season." And I yelled at the radio, "No, we're not. We're in Advent." Even here in St. Paul, I went to Kowalski's looking for a purple candle for our community altar at our Jesuit community, Marco House. And they said, "Well, we only have holiday colors." And I said, "Purple is a holiday color. It's Advent." Oh, my goodness. And the woman was had a kind of a sheepish grin on her face. I could tell she was probably Catholic and embarrassed. And she probably goes to Nativity. But then there's the omnipresent Christmas music and holiday decorations and all of that. Let's not skip over Advent to have a superficial Christmas, a premature, superficial Christmas. The better our spiritual preparation during Advent, the more joyful our Christmas celebration will be. One of my most joyful Christmases of my life was when I was a first-year Jesuit novice out at St. Bonifacius, Minnesota, which is now Crown Bible College. Jesuit college, I guess we called it. I was a Jesuit novice. It was my first Christmas as a young Jesuit in training. And I was away from my family. There were no presents. So you'd think it could be kind of a crummy Christmas. But it wasn't. It was really joyful because it was completely focused on Christ, on the real meaning of Christmas, and on the community. And we had a great time, and I had a great time. And I was really very, very happy. I've also enjoyed, of course, other Christmases with my family and so on. But that was just a really special Christmas because I was so focused as a young Jesuit on what it was all about. And I also want to talk a little bit this morning about the whole concept of sacred time. You know, we have calendar time where we just flip the pages of the calendar or on our little electronic devices kind of whisk them by the different months. So it's a day by day, month by month, year by year, but it's kind of a monotonous without any special meaning. It's just a passing of, passing of time. But sacred time involves our liturgical seasons. And I think it's a real gift of the church that we have the seasons of Advent, which starts our church year, our liturgical year, followed, of course, by Christmas and the Epiphany, and then Lent and Easter, and then Ascension and Pentecost. And it's punctuated by ordinary time when I get to wear my Green Bay colors. That's what I like. I'm kind of an ordinary time guy because I get to wear green. But anyway, but seriously, I also really love Advent, and it's one of my favorite seasons. So there's a sacred rhythm to the church's liturgical year, to the extent that we're kind of tuned into that in our prayer and through the liturgy. I think it can really make our life much, much more rich, rather than just kind of a monotonous passing of day after day, month after month, year after year. There's a rich meaning to it. You know, we're in sacred time, and Advent is really a sacred time. And as we all know, Advent is a time of waiting, a time of longing, a time of preparation, of expectation, of patience. Those are not exactly American virtues, are they? In our culture of pretty much instant gratification. And I just wanted to quote some of the prayers from our Advent season. In today's Liturgy of the Hours, the prayer says, "Father in heaven, our hearts desire the warmth of your love." Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Our hearts desire the warmth of your love. "Increase our longing for Christ our Savior." Increase our longing. "And give us the strength to grow in love, that the dawn of his that the dawn of his coming may find us rejoicing in his presence." Today's gospel, we hear, your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. Isn't it true that we can be brought down by the anxieties of daily life? We get so caught up in our busyness and the things that we're worried about day to day that we lose the bigger picture that the liturgical year brings to us. Today's opening prayer bids us to be vigilant, to be prepared, to run forth to meet your Christ. That whole idea of running forth to meet our Christ, that sense of anticipation and eagerness. And then for those of us making our Advent Ignatian retreat, there's about 60 of us doing that. There's a poem in our prayer booklet that says, O come, Emmanuel, come forth from deep within me with Christmas luminous beauty, for my heart has become the sacred crib, the birthing place of God among us. Isn't that a beautiful image that we pray that God would our hearts would be a birthing place, a sacred crib where Christ will be born? And the next stanza says, peace on earth and justice for all will only become manifest in our lives when enough of us, enough of your sons and daughters, awaken to your divine design. Awaken to your divine design that has made each one of us an emerging Emmanuel. So that's what we're to do this Advent, is to awaken, to become aware of, to become alert to the bigger picture, the divine plan that we see unfolded so beautifully in this Advent Christmas season. Another Advent prayer that I ran across was really, I thought was very appropriate. Dear Jesus, you are the hope in our messy world. You're the hope in our messy world. This Advent, help us to slow down. Amen to that, right? Help us to slow down. Listen to your voice and focus on what's truly important. We place our hope in you as we prepare our hearts to celebrate your birth on Christmas. So Advent is a time when we kind of tune into these realities, become aware of them. And how do we do that? One is what we're doing right now is Mass. And I really encourage all of us to certainly go to, you know, Mass at least on the four Sundays of Advent. You're off to a good start. You made week one. But to really make an effort to go to all 4 weeks. And also maybe go to daily Mass once in a while. We have a 7:15 Mass here in the side chapel every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. Also prayer. Maybe a little extra prayer. We're going to be having Eucharistic adoration here on Friday morning after Mass, after the morning Mass, ending with benediction at noon. You could come here and pray a little bit before the Eucharist, or just spend a little extra time every day in prayer. And make sure you do spend some time in prayer, in personal prayer. Some of us are making that Advent retreat or one of the other Ignatian retreats, and that helps. The Advent wreath, you know, to have an Advent wreath in your house, it's easy to do. Just get you can get a wreath and get four candles. I don't know, good luck finding purple candles, but you probably can find a pink candle or a red candle. Certainly can find a red candle, that's for sure. But what's beautiful about it is that we just light one candle every week. So today we're going to light one candle. And then we have to wait a whole week to light the second candle. And then a whole 2 weeks to light the other candle, and so on. So it takes, you know, there's that sense of waiting, expectation, and not rushing. You know, our inclination is, let's light them all at once. No, we do that in that slow, measured way. Also, to receive the sacrament of reconciliation is a good way to maybe get a spiritual car wash before Christmas so we can just kind of cleanse our soul a bit so that we come into Christmas with a spirit of repentance and renewal. This Thursday, we are having an Advent prayer service from 7 to 8 at night. Father RJ and I will be here to hear confessions. We'll have a Taizé prayer going with it. But this Thursday would be a great time to come together as a community from 7 to 8 to experience reconciliation. Of course, every Saturday, we're in that confessional box from 3:30 to 4 in the afternoon. And that's a great time, too. I think another way to prepare for Christmas is to really get into that giving spirit. and volunteering. We have the Advent tree over there. We have the Christmas toy drive. I know my first year here when I went to the Christmas toy drive, it was just such a great way to see all those toys given to these low-income families so that they had something to give to their kids at Christmas. It was really beautiful. It was really touching. And there was just, you know, a ton of people there and a lot of volunteers, and our Boy Scout troop helped out. It was really, really a cool thing. The women's group is big organizers of that. I think they're the main organizers of it. So something like that is good. Our Holy Family apartment needs, that fund is getting kind of low. We need help with our Holy Family apartment fund. So over on the side there, we have the creche. Baby Jesus doesn't come until Christmas Eve, so you won't see baby Jesus there. But you have the candles there. You could light a candle and then put an offering in for the Holy Family apartment. The free store, where we give away free clothing to people that are low income, they need volunteers. Check your bulletin for that. And again, our Dorothy Day ministry and our food pantry and so our Justice in Action work. I think to maybe make sure during Advent that that you really do something to give of yourself with other people, especially people that maybe are in special need at this time. The other thing is give up something. I think that can kind of increase that sense of longing. I'm going to give up dessert, Father RJ.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay. but just... Do you know what you're giving up yet, Father RJ?
Meat, except for Sundays.
Meat? Oh, my God. That's very, very impressive. So I am going to, but I think just giving up something builds up that sense of waiting, that sense of expectation. And then the other thing, my first year here I said this, and it went over kind of like a lead balloon, but can you postpone putting up your Christmas decorations at your house? Maybe not decorate your tree until Christmas Eve, or maybe the week of. But I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands how many already have their tree decorated. Take off the ornaments and put them in a box, and then put them back up Christmas Eve so that you... What is there to look forward to? Even as a kid, part of what the anticipation is, if it's all here now, then what is there to wait for? You might just give your Christmas presents now and get it over with. So let's have that sense of anticipation, a lot of this I'm saying in a lighthearted way, but I really, you know, that I'm serious. That that's really been my experience, and I know as a Jesuit and as a priest, I need to hear this too. I can just get busy with Advent and with the business of the parish, and different things, and not really delve in deeply to that. A spirit of Advent. So let's all make some real efforts to really experience Advent this year and open ourselves so that we can really listen to God's voice to us this Advent time. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.